We are beginning in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, with the words Vakati Shloima Gozar. We're in the middle of the sugya of the Yud Ches Tvorim, the 18 gzeiros that were instituted by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and specifically we're speaking about Netilas Yadayim, that the Yadayim, the hands, were considered to be a sheni concerning matters of Tumah. And the Gemara's question at this point is that the Gemara until now has said that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have instituted Netilas Yadayim and the consideration that the Yadayim are Shniyos and Vakati Shloima Gozar. The Gemara is asking that in fact we find that Shloima HaMelech was the one who made the Gzeira of the Tumah of Yadayim. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel B'shah Shetikin Shloima Eruvin V'Netilas Yadayim. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that at the time when Shlomo HaMelech instituted Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim, Eruvin refers to Eruvi Chatzeris, that if two or more people are living together, they are not allowed to carry from one house to the other unless a loaf of bread is deposited in one of the dwellings. And Netilas Yadayim, washing the hands for making the hands tohar, that they should not be tamei when touching kachim. When Shlomo HaMelech instituted these two takanos, Yotzeso Baskol, a Baskol, a voice from heaven came out, Va'amra, and said, Beni Imchacham libecha, my son, if your heart is wise, Yismach libi gamoni, Hashem says, my heart shall rejoice as well. And also Hashem says, Chacham bini, be wise, my son, V'samach libi, make my heart glad, V'ashiva chorfi dovor, and I will answer back to those who are mevazim me, to those who disgrace me. But what do we see from this memra in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel, that in fact it was Shlomo HaMelech who instituted Netilas Yadayim? So how could the Gemara until here have said that it was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? It's interesting, before we get to the Gemara's teretz, Rav Hai Goin says that it was very appropriate that specifically it was Shlomo HaMelech who instituted Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim, because the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Eruvin tells us that the people who are waging war are potter from Netilas Yadayim and Eruv. So it was not until Shlomo HaMelech's time, when Klal Yisrael rested from its many wars with its surrounding enemies, it was appropriate. David HaMelech would not have been able to institute Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim because he was busy with war. But Shlomo HaMelech, who was at peace, he was able to institute Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim. There's a famous thought of the Kotzke Rebbe, who is not the simple pshat of the Gemara, but he says that a Jew must always have these two institutions, Eruvin and Netilas Yadayim. Eruvin refers to La'olam Teidaito Shalada Me'uruvim Abrius. A person has to mix with other people, people who may be different than him. He may be trying to be makar of other people to Yiddishkeit. However, at the same time that he's mixing with them, he has to make sure that in the process of him trying to influence the other people, that the other people don't influence him in a negative way. And therefore, the reason for the second takan of Netilas Yadayim, one has to wash one's hands from any negative influences that may be coming from the other person. Continues the Gemara, and the Gemara responds, Asa Shloima Gozar Lekachim. And now we turn to Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, that Shlomo HaMelech came along, he did institute Netilas Yadayim, what that was concerning when Kachim would be touched by the hands. But he never made a Gzeira on the hands concerning Truma, which is a lesser Kedusha. V'asu Inu, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came, V'gozer Afla Truma, and they instituted it for Truma as well. So based on our entire sugya, there were three stages concerning Yadayim and Netilas Yadayim. The first was Shlomo, who decreed it for Kachim. Then Hillel and Shammai themselves came and said it for Truma as well. But this, as the Gemara told us before, was not accepted. And it was only until Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came and made this one one of the 18 gzeros, that it was accepted by Klal Yisrael that the hands had to be washed before touching truma. Subsequently, actually, there was a fourth level to Yadayim, and this is concerning touching chulin. Two generations after Hill, Rab Lozer ben Aruch instituted that even when someone eats chulin, and specifically bread, that one should wash their hands as well, and this of course is something that we do ad hayom hazeh, but it's only required, as opposed to the other gzeres where it's nogea all food, kachim or truma, here it's gzera concerning chulin was only done by bread itself, and the reason for the gzera by chulin, by regular bread, was that a person should not get in the habit of not washing their hands and then touch truma with tamei hands. So it comes out there was actually four stages to the gzera of Yadayim. Continues the Gemara, Gufa, we learned before, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Yud Ches Gazru, Ubi Yud Ches Nechliku, that there were 18 Gzeres of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and they also argued in each one of these 18 Gzeres. The Gemara asked a question, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Hushvu, that they actually, it was unanimous that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agreed to the 18 Gzeres. The Gemara answers, Boy, b'yom nechliku. On the first day when the 18 gzeres were proposed, there was a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Well, the next day, hushvu, they all agreed that these 18 gzeres should be instituted. Continues the Gemara Gufa we learned before. Amar Rav Huna said, Begimel mekaymus nechliku Shammai v'Hillel, that there were three places in the entire Shas where Shammai and Hillel, not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, their students, but where Shammai and Hillel themselves argued. And now the Gemara is going to relate what these three places were. The first machlokus between Shammai and Hillel concerns the amount of flour that is necessary in order to one to be chayiv in chalam from the Torah. Shammai oimer mikav chala, that a kav of chala is the amount needed for one to be chayiv in chala from the Torah. A kav is four lugin. A lug is also called a rova, because rova means a quarter, and a lug, since there are four lugin in a kav, one lug is a quarter of a kav. And a lug is six average chicken eggs, six bayim, and therefore it comes out, if you have four lugin in a kav, and six bayim in a lug, that there are 24 bayim, 24 eggs in a kav. That is the amount that Shammai says. Ve'hillel oimer, and Hillel says mikabayim. Hillel requires double the amount of Shammai, and he says you need two kavim of flour to be chayv and chalam midaraisa. V'chachamim oimerim, and the chachamim disagree with both Shammai and Hillel. Like the rezev, the like the rezev. We disagree with Shammai, we don't agree to the words of Shammai, and we do not agree to the words of Hillel either. Ella, they make a compromise. Kav umachtza chayv b'chala. 1.5 kavim are chayv in chala, which would come out that it would be 6 lugin, because there, as we said before, there are 4 lugin in a kav. So according to the Chacham, if you need 1.5 kavim, it would come out to 6 lugin. Rashi points out that this seems to contradict a different amount which the same Chachamim believe in, and that is 7.5 lugin. How do we reach 7.5 lugin? So Rashi explains that the pasuk concerning challah tells us that Klal Yisrael should separate challah, reishis arisoseichem, the first of your dough. And the Chazal understand that your dough, arisoseichem, refers to the size of the portion of mon that Klal Yisrael received in the Midbar, in the desert. The Torah tells us that that amount was an omer. The Torah also tells us that an omer is asiris ha'efa. It's a tenth of an efa. We know that a efa contains within it 432 bayim. And therefore, if an omer is a tenth of an efa, one tenth of 432 bayim is 43.5 bayim. 43.5 bayim divided by 6, because there are 6 bayim in a lug, comes out to 7 1/5 lugim. So how can the Gemara here say that according to Chachamim, it's the amount of flour that's necessary to be chayv v'chal is kavu machzo, which is 6 bayim, when according to what we said before, it's really 43 1/5 bayim, which is 6 lugim, which is 7 1/5 lugim. So our Gemara says 6 lugim, and according to what Rashi brings down, it should be 7 1/5. In fact, it's interesting to note that the word challah b'gematria ches lamed hay, which equals 8, and lamed is 30, and hay is 5, comes out to a total of 43, because that's the closest number, the closest whole number for which one is chayv and challah, which we said was 43 1/5, 43.2 bayim. And 43 1/5 bayim come out to 7 1/5 lugim. So Rashi answers this discrepancy by explaining that there are different measurements. The original measurement in the Midbar was called Midos Midborius, the Midos of the desert. And that, in fact, was 7 1/5 lugim. However, as time went on, when Klal Yisrael lived in Yerushalayim, they made the measures bigger, and those measures are called Midos Yerushalmiyos, and they made them bigger by a fifth. And therefore, 7 1/5 lugin divided by 1 1/5 equals 6. And therefore, our Gemara is speaking about the Midos Yerushalmiyos. And the Midos Yerushalmiyos, which were bigger, equaled Kavu Machza, which is 6 lugin. And 6 lugin Yerushalmiyos equals 7 1/5 lugim at the time of the Midbar, when we were working with smaller measurements called Midos Midborius. Continues the Gemara, Misha Higdilu, this is again according to the Chachamim, once the measurements became even bigger, and Rashi tells us these are a third measurement, which is called Midas Sipori, when the Klal Yisrael, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple, they moved to Tzipori, so then they made the measurements even bigger by a fifth, and now we have to divide 6 of the Midas Yerushalmiyos by 1 1/5 again, which comes out to 5. Mishig dilu hamidos amru. They said, the Chachamim said, chamisha revoim kemach, chayovim b'chalav. 5 revoim, as we mentioned before. Rova is another name for a lug, because a lug is a quarter of a kav, and therefore a lug can also be called a rova. So 5 revoim, 5 lugin of flour is chayav and chala, because if we take the 6 lugin of Midas Yerushalmiyos and we divide it by 1 1/5, we will get to 5 lugim or 5 revoim of flour. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, hey pturit, if you only have 5 lugin of flour, you are potter hatorah from the chiyuv of challah. But hey va'od, if you have 5 lugin, a little more, and a fifth, as Rashi tells us, chayovin, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that in his time, the eggs were smaller than those that were used in the Midbar, and in order to equal what was at the time of the Midbar, one had to add a fifth. So besides the measurements becoming bigger, as was mentioned before, that the 7 1/5 became 6, which later became 5, but besides that, Rabbi Yossi said, you have to make it a loose 5, not a tight 5, because you have to take into account that the eggs were at present smaller than the ones that were used at the time of the Midbar by a fifth, so a fifth has to be added on, and therefore Rabbi Yossi said, if you have an exact 5 in our times, you're not going to be chayv challah. If you want to equal the size that it was at the time of the Midbar, you have to add a fifth, so it's 5 lugin of flour plus a fifth chayavin. So this is the first machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. Then there is a second machlokes. Ve'idach, continues the Gemara, concerns how much maim shuvim, how much drawn water can pasul a mikveh. Rashi points out that if a mikveh has the entire 40 so of water in it, then drawn water will not make the mikveh pasul. Even Rashi says if someone were to pour in elef so, a large amount, 1,000 so of drawn water, it will not pasul the original mikveh, which is created using fresh, not drawn water. However, if in the formation of the 40 saw, maim shuvim is poured in, it will pasul the mikveh. Our Gemara discusses how much maim shuvim is necessary to pasul the mikveh. Says the Gemara, according to Hillel, the idach Hillel oimer, another case where Hillel argues with Shammai, Hillel says, molei hin, maim shuvim pasul mas mikveh, that if one has a hin, which Rashi tells us is yud beis lug, 12 lug, which equal, if 4 lugin in a kav, which equals 3 kavim. So according to Hillel, 3 kavim of maim shuvim pasul mikveh. Shechayiv adam loimer b'loshin raboy. Rashi explains what the Gemara means here is as follows. The word hin, the measurement hin, that name was only used in the Torah. It was not used in the time of the Mishnah. The Gemara is trying to understand why did Hillel use the measurement of hin in his time if it was not something used by the Mishnah. And the answer is because that is the way that Hillel heard it from his Rebbeim Shmaya of Avtalia, and they said it in that context, in that language. They used the word hin, so therefore Hillel heard it that way. He repeated it and said that mole hin maim shuvim pais was a mikveh. Why? Because shechayiv adam loimer b'lashon rabbi, because a person always has to learn Torah and repeat what he has heard from his Rebbe, exactly the way the Rebbe said it. Shammai Yoimer, however, Shammai disagrees with Hillel, and Shammai is Mekel. He's more lenient. Tisha Kabin, that you know how much pasul is a mikveh, only Tisha Kabin. Derive it explains, because Tisha Kabin is the amount, the minimum amount required for someone to bathe in. As we had in Masechta Brachos, that Tisha Kabin could be metar a person from Tumas Keri. This is the standard amount of water that a person uses to bathe, and since we're discussing Hilchas Mikvois, a mikveh where one bathes in, where one purifies themselves through water, therefore the amount is not the three kavim which Hillel said, the Yud Beis Lug, the hin. No, Shammai disagrees and says that you need more water. They're being lenient. In order to pass the mikveh, three is not enough. You need 9 kavim. V'chachamim, and the chachamim have a third opinion. They do not agree with Shammai. They do not agree with Hillel. They have the most stringent opinion. How much is the opinion? The Gemara says a short story. Achabol beis gardoyim. There were two weavers who came, Mishara Ashba, from the gate that entered Yerushalayim, where the garbage was, which was called the gate of garbage. Shebi Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim Ve'idu, and they testified, Mishum Shmai Vavtalia, in the name of Shmai Vavtalia, that they had heard from Shmai Vavtalia, Sheshloisha Lugin Maim Shuvim Paisum Samikveh, that 3 Lugin of Maim Shuvim Paisum Samikveh, and as we learned before, there are 4 Lugin in a Kav, so according to Shmai Vavtalia, 3/4 of a Kav Paisum Samikveh. Shammai is the most lenient, saying 9 Kavim. Hillel is second and says 3 kavim pasul a mikveh, and the most stringent is Shmaya Vavtalia, who say that even 3/4 of a kav, and this is how we paskin like Shmaya Vavtalia, that 3 lugin, 3/4 of a kav of maim shuvim pasul a mikveh. The Rashi brings down the Tosefta Masechta Idiyos, which explains why was it necessary to tell us that these two people were weavers, and why was it necessary to tell us they came from the gate of Shar HaAshbaz. So the Gemara says, because there is no lower profession than a weaver. In fact, someone who's a weaver, a kohen who's a weaver, cannot become a kohen gadol. A Jew who is a weaver cannot become a melech, a king. And there is no lower in stature gate entering Yerushalayim Ein shar Yerushalayim pachas mishar ashbois, then the gate by the garbage. And even though these were the low people coming from a insignificant spot in Yerushalayim, but yet hichriu beidusin kol chachmi Yisrael, through their testimony, which was accepted by the chachamim of Klal Yisrael, this became a binding law on all of Klal Yisrael. And what does this teach us? It teaches us that shelo yimna adam atzmai bebeis hamedrash, a person should never stop himself from entering the Beis Medrash, because you never know, it could be what you hear that day in the Beis Medrash can have a profound effect on Klal Yisrael, just as the weavers here from the Shara Ashbois affected the entire Klal Yisrael. The Kimu Chachamim Estivrem, the Chachamim accepted the testimony of these two weavers. The Idach, the third area where Shammai and Hillel themselves have a disagreement, concerns the following din. Shammai Oimer Kol Hanashim Dayan Shatan. What this refers to is the Mishnah and Gemara Masechta Nidah, where a woman saw dam. She saw blood coming from the rechem, coming from the uterus. And the question is, she touched taharos, and the question is, when do the taharos become tummy? So Shammai says there is no retroactive tumma. We don't say perhaps she was already tummy before, but we say dayan shatan. It's sufficient to say from the time that she sees and on that any taharos that she touched will become tummy until she goes to a mikveh and makes herself tohar. The Hillel Omer, Hillel disagrees on Shammai and says mipkido lipkido. Yes, there is a retroactive tumma here. And it will be from one examination to the other, which means that if she examined herself on Monday and did not see any dam, and later in the week on Friday she examined herself again and saw dam, then we will say that retroactively from Monday, from the moment that she stopped checking herself for dam on Monday, and on throughout the entire week, any taharas that she touched become tummy, because we have a suspicion that maybe the second, the moment that she stopped checking herself on Monday, that is when the dam, the blood left the rechem. And the reason that she didn't see it until later in the week was, as the Gemara says, in Nida, that kosle besarechem, the walls of the vagina held the dam back, and it was held there the entire week until later in the week when she re-examined herself. So therefore, Hillel is of the opinion that there is a retroactive tumma from one examination to the previous one. Even if this, the difference, the time element is many days between one examination and the other, all the taharas that she touched during those many days are retroactively tummy. The Chachamim again have a third opinion. They do not agree with Shammai, nor do they agree with Hillel, and they say Ella me'es la'es memayit al yedei mepkida lepkida. Which means, according to Chachamim, there is a retroactive concept of Tumah here. They do agree in concept with Hillel that we say that the Kosle Beis Arachim held back the Dam until later, and really she was already Tumah retroactively. However, they do not believe that it can go for many days. They say the most that this would happen with would be with 24 hours. Me'es la'es, from one moment until the same moment 24 hours later. During that time period, we can say that all the taharas that the woman touched become tumah. However, we cannot say retroactive tumah more than one day before she actually sees the dam. So Chachamim say, Ella, me'es la'es, 24-hour period, memayet will become lessened al yedei mipkida lipkida, by the examinations, which means that if she examined herself within the past 24 hours, let us say 12 hours before the examination in which she saw the dam, so then I will say that she is only retroactively tamei from one examination to the other, which will mean 12 hours previous to when she saw the dam, she will be tamei. All the taharas she touched in the last 12 hours will be tamei. So the checking within the 24 hours has been memayet the retroactive period of me'es li'es of 24 hours, umipkida lepkida, and from one examination to the other, memayet will become lessened al yedei me'es li'es. In other words, you always take whatever's less. If one examination to the other is less than 24 hours, then she's only retroactively tamei from one examination to the other. And if me'es li'es, if 24 hours is less than one examination to the other, in other words, in our example, if she had checked herself on Monday and re-examined herself on Friday, so according to the Chachamim, the 24-hour period of me'es li'es will lessen the 5-day period from Monday through Friday from one examination to the other. You always take the lesser of these two times, the 24-hour time or the pekida lepkida time, if that happens to be less than the 24-hour time. So these are the three areas where Shammai and Hillel themselves, without Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, have a disagreement. Ask the Gemara of Esu Leka. Are those the only three? Vo'ikir, we have another machlokas, and this concerns making smicha on Yontif. If someone brings a korban neder or nedava on Yontif, so normally there's a mitzvah to do smicha. Smicha is when a person is mechuyev to lay both of his hands on the animal before the shechita, pressed down with all his might, and at the same time he offers praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or he, in the case of a korban chatas, he would confess to Hashem for his avera. This is what is known as smicha. Now, smicha, normally, to do smicha on yontiv, on an animal, not on a korban, but on a regular animal, is prohibited from the rabbanon, because it is similar to riding an animal, which is also prohibited from the rabbanon. The question is, should one be mechuyev to make smicha on yontiv when one is bringing a korban? Did the Chachamim say their gzeira of smicha, that it's usher to do even relating to a korban, or when it comes to a korban, they did not say their isser of smicha? So Shammai is of the opinion that one should not do smicha on yontiv. And when would one do smicha? Before yontiv. Hillel, however, as we learned in Masechta Brachos, that one of the things that come tekef is tekev l'smicha shechita. That Hillel is of the opinion that one has to do shechita immediately following the smicha. So if one were to do smicha erev yontiv, they would have to do shechita on erev yontiv also. And this person has to bring the korban on yontiv. So therefore, Hillel is of the opinion, Hillel loimer lismoich, that one makes smicha on yontiv, and right away they make shechita on yontiv, and there is no isser mid rabbanan concerning smicha when it comes to a korban. V'shamay loimer, no, the rabbanan did place their isser even concerning a korban, and therefore shaloi l'smich, you do not make smicha on yontiv. But Shammai says, we allow you to make smicha erev yontiv because we don't consider that you have to make the smicha and the shechita immediately following one another. So here we have a fourth area where Shammai and Hillel disagree. So why did we say before that there's only three places? The Gemara answers, ki kama Rav Huna, when did Rav Huna say that there's a machlokes Shammai and Hillel, heicha deleka plukta derabbis abadayu? That's only when no one else is arguing about this matter. But here in the case of smicha on yontiv, this was from the earliest machloikas in Klal Yisrael, and the Mishnah in Chagiga tells us that actually it was an argument that went on for 200 years that preceded Hillel and Shammai, and that the zugos, the pairs of Nasi, the prince of Eretz Yisrael, and the Av Bezdin, the head of the Bezdin, had disagreements. The zugos, the pairs of Nasi and Av Bezdin that are mentioned at the beginning of Masechta Avos, all of those pairs had the machlokas concerning this issue. So Shammai and Hillel were not the only pair that had the machlokas. So when we said before that Shammai and Hillel are arguing three things, we were only speaking about things that Shammai and Hillel themselves argued in, and not items where other Gedolei Yisrael had the very same argument. The Gemara asks, but I have still a fourth area of argument between Shammai and Hillel, vo'iko haboit shalagas. If someone is harvesting grapes for the wine press, and the question is, is the grape juice that comes out from the grapes, is that machshir, does that prepare the grapes to become tamei or not? We know that there are seven liquids that make a item mukhshir, ready to be makabel tuma. That if, for example, a sheretz would touch this grape, if there's a one of the seven liquids on it, it would make the grape ready to be makabel tuma. And what are the seven grapes? There's an acronym, a short form, Yad Shachad Dam. Yad stands for Yud Yayin, wine. Dalid Vash, honey. The word Shachad stands for Shem and oil, Ches, chol of milk, Tes, tal, dew. And then the final word, Dam, is Dalid, stands for Dam, blood. And the final Mem stands for Mayim, for water. So here we have one of the seven liquids, which is grape juice. Grape juice has halachically the same din as Yayin. And now the question is, this wine, or this grape juice that is coming out from the grapes as they are harvested, so normally we would say that the grape juice should not be machshir the grape to be mekabel tuma, because there's another rule in hechshir lekabel tuma that the Baal HaBayis has to want, he has to have in mind that he wants the liquid on top of the food item. It's beneficial for him. But if it unintentionally, where he does not want it to go on the food, then the liquid would not make it mukhshir lekabel tuma. So here, where he's harvesting it for the wine press, he's not harvesting it for raisins, for example, because there's no instance in where he would want the wine or grape juice to come out. But in a case where he's harvesting it for the wine press, he does want wine to come out. So although normally this grape juice that's going to be coming out now goes to waste, but Shammai says it's possible that he could harvest it in a waterproof container. And then he would be able to use even the grape juice that's oozing out of the grapes during harvest. He would be able to use that very grape juice in his wine production. So since there is one case in which he would be happy with the grape juice that was oozing out of the grapes during harvest, therefore we always consider the grape juice that's on top of the grapes as a machshir lekabel tuma. This is the opinion of Shammai. Haboitzer legas Shammai armor hukshir, that it has made the grapes ready to be mekabel tuma through the grape juice. V'hil oimer lo yehukshir, and Hill says normally he's not happy with the grape juice coming out. So even though there's that one case with the waterproof container, that's not the normal case, and therefore the regular grapes that have grape juice oozing out of it during harvest does not make the grape susceptible to be mekabel tuma. So here we have another machlokes between Shammai and Hill. The Gemara answers bar minei dahu, except for that machlokes, that doesn't count. Why? Because in the end there was no machlokes. The hasam there, kashasik lehillel Shammai, Hill kept quiet and eventually he gave in to Shammai. The other three machlokes and remained the machlokes between Shammai and Hill. This one, Hillel eventually admitted to Shammai that they were right, and therefore we do not count that as one of the arguments between Shammai and Hill. Continues the Gemara, we mentioned before that Yossi ben Yoezer is Seredov, Yossi ben Yochanan is Yerushalayim. These are one of the zugos, one of the groups mentioned at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Gozru, they made a law, Tumo al Eretz Amim, that the ground of Eretz Amim is Tameh. And we'll see possibly even the air as well of Eretz Amim is Tameh. Va'al klishuchas, and also on glass, that glass is Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara asks a question, what are you telling me that Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, they were the ones who instituted this? V'ha-Rabbanim d'shmainim shana gozer, there's the Rabbanim of the 80 years that were gozer, and the Gemara will explain which Rabbanim, which 80 years we are talking about. The Amar Rav Kana, Rav Kana said the following incident, Kishachala Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi, when Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi got sick, and his father, Rav Shmuel's father, was Rav Yossi bar Chalafta. So when Rav Shmuel got sick, Sholchulai, they sent him a message, Rabbi Omer lanu beis ugimel dvarim, Rabbi, please tell us two or three things. Sh'amarta mishum avicha. The Bach takes out the word lanu, tell us two or three things that you want to tell us from your father? Apparently they were afraid he's going to leave this world and he will not tell them the things that he had heard from his great father, Rabbi Yosef bar Chalafta. Sholach Lahem, he sent a message back to the Chachamim, Kach Omer Abba. This is what my father said, the following historical record. Kuf Pei Shana, 180 years, Achlei Chorav Abayis, before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Pashta, Malchus, Rishal Yisrael. We're speaking about the second Beis HaMikdash, 180 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus HaRishah, which Rashi says refers to the Romans. So 108, Rashi says, Malchus HaRishah Roimi, 180 years before the Churban, the evil Malchus of Rome, Pashta, it spread out and dominated the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Peshana, 80 years, and these are the 80 years that we're speaking about, Achlei Chorav Abayis, before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Gazru Tumal Eretz HaAmim, Valkli Zchuchos, the Chacham of that time made a law of Tumah of the nations of the world, and on glass, Memshana, 40 years before the destruction, Achlei Chorav Abayis, Golsula Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin went into exile from where they usually met in the Lishkas HaGazes in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yashva law, and the Sanhedrin sat on a building which was on the Har HaBayis, was on the Temple Mount, and the name of the building was Chananuyois, Lamai Hilchasa. So why are you telling me this fact that they went out of the Lishkas HaGazes in the Beis HaMikdash to Chanuyos? Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Loimer, this teaches Ashalaydonu Dine Knosses, that they did not anymore, once they went into exile, out of the place of Lishkas HaGazes, they did not judge items which are called Knoss. Money matters can be divided into two areas. One is regular Dine Mominis, which are regular matters of law pertaining to transactions and damages. And then also we have dine knosses. These are penalties. For example, when a ganav, a thief has to pay kefil, he has to pay double the amount of what he stole, or the owner of an ox that kills a slave has to pay a fine of 30 shkalim. These are all knosses. Knosses can only be adjudicated by someone who has smicha, who has a special sanction from dating back from his Rebbe to his Rebbe to his Rebbe, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, receiving this special smicha, this special ordination. So the Gemara at this point thinks that Knas, not only do you need smicha, but it's only when the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkas HaGazes. The Gemara asks right away, Dine Knas Asal Kedatach? Are you telling me that once they left the Lishkas HaGazes, they weren't able to paskin on penalties, on Dine Knosses? You're allowed to paskin Knas as long as you have smicha. It's not dependent on the Sanhedrin being in the Lishkas HaGazes. Ela Eima say, Shalaydonu Dine Nefashis, that once the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazes, that in fact, they're only allowed to take someone's life through skila, sreifa, herg, v'chenek, through the four methods of killing someone, al-pi bezdin. That's only when the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkas HaGazes. So now we come to our question, that how could you say that Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan were the ones who instituted the Tumah on the Eretz HaAmim and on Tzchuches? We see it was only instituted 80 years before the Churban. Maybe you'll tell me that in fact Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan lived in those 80 years. That's not true. Vatani, we learned in a brisa that the following four gedolim were at the end of the Bayis Sheni. They were the heads of Klal Yisrael: Hillel, Vishimon, and then Gamliel, and followed by Shimon. Nogun Nusiyasan Bifnei Habayis. It says on the side. They were Noeg, their Nesiyas of Klal Yisrael, while the Beis HaMikdash was still in existence, Meyashana, for the last 100 years of the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. These four were the Nesiyim. The Ilu, Yosef ben Yezer, is straight of Yosef ben Yochanan, Havikad Mituva. As we find in Pirkei Avos, Rashi says that Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan preceded Hillel and Shammai, And Hillel was, as we just saw, 100 years before the Churban. And Yosef and Yezer preceded Hillel. So he could not, they could not, the two Yosefs could not be the Chachamim who instituted this Gzeirah in the 80 years before the Churban, when they lived over 100 years before the Churban. The Gemara answers, Ella, we turn to Tezvav and Beis. Also, Inu, Rashi says, the two Yosefs came and they were geyser. The Gemara is saying it went in stages. They were geyser agush al Israif, that truma that touched the ground of Gush, is the ground of the of Chutz Loretz, of the Eretz Amim. The truma had to be burnt. The avira, but if truma passed, let's say Rashi explains, through a wagon or a box that had a hole in it, then it didn't land on the ground of the Eretz Amim, so there was a hole in the box or the wagon, so the Tumah could go into that hole. V'leiklum, they were not goyzer on the airspace of the Eretz Amim anything. V'asa Rabbanan the Peshah, and in a later stage of the Gezerah, the Rabbanan of the 80 years came, Gozer Avira Litlois, and they said that not only does the earth have to be burnt, if Tumah touched the earth, that Tumah has to be burnt, but on the Avira, there's also something that has to happen, and that's Litlois. Litlois means that it is a suffix, and therefore it has to be treated. It's not burnt, and it's not eaten. It's like hanging in limbo. It's suspended, and therefore it is not eaten, but it is not burnt either. The Gemara does not like this answer. Lameimra, are you trying to tell me the Chodik Zer Tahavi, that the Lisreifa, that to burn the Truma because it touched Eretz Amim, that was all done at one time? The only thing that went in stages is the air of the Eretz Amim. Va'amr Ilfa said, Yadayim, Tchilis Gzer Rasul Lisreifa, that the Tuma on Yadayim, and if Yadayim touched Truma, that requires the Truma to be burned. That was done immediately. When the Gzer was made, immediately it was followed by the Halacha that Truma that touches Yadayim is Lisreifa. So we can deduce Yadayim who did Tchilas Gzer Rasul Lisreifa. It's only the hands where right immediately when the Gzer was instituted that the Yadayim are Tomei, that the Truma that touches the Yadayim have to be burned. Ha Midi Acharina, but something else. For example, in the case of the Eretz Amim, that Gezeira Loi, there the Sreifa Gezeira was not instituted right away. It came in stages. So the Gemara says, you're right. We'll have to say the following. Also, Inu, the two Yoises came, Gozer Agusha Litlois. They made Gezeira on the Eretz Amim to be Tola, to suspend. So they did not institute Sreifa, according to what the Gemara says now, right away. They, on Gusha, on the earth, they said only Litlois. Don't burn it, don't eat it. Va'avir on the air, Loiklum. Va'as Rabbanim the Peshah. Then the Rabbanim of the 80 years came. Gozer, Agusha, Lisser. So they intensified the Gzeira on the earth to burn it. And you're right, it came in stages, not right away, the Sreifa. Va'avira, they also instituted that on the airspace, even if it doesn't touch the ground, Litlois, that you have to suspend it, don't eat it, don't burn it. The Gemara is not satisfied. Va'akati bu'usha gozer. You're telling me that there were two stages, but we find that it was really done in Usha. And Usha, as Rashi brings down, there were Yud Masois Nasa Shechina, that after the Churban, there were 10 places to which the Shechina was carried, and one of them is Usha. And the Sanhedrin was in Usha, and this was after the Churban. It wasn't Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan over 100 years before the Churban. And it wasn't in the 80 years, the last 80 years preceding the Churban. It was, in fact, after the Churban that the Gzeira of the Eretz Amim was instituted, as we see from the next Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Masechta Taharis. Vakati Bush Gazir Islam, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Taharis. Alvav Sefekoi Sorfenis Atrima. There are four doubts on which the Chachamim said you have to consider these doubts as Vadai, and therefore you burn the Truma. And all of these six Sfeikois are things that are Tomei Midrabonon. The first one is Al Sofik Beis Apras. on a safek of a base of pras. The word pras means it's spread out. And Rashi says that this is referring to truma that entered the area called base of pras, shehu sadeh she'avad bakever. We know that there's a grave here. We don't know where it is. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi because Tosfos says then that would make it a safek tuma deraisa. We don't know if the truma touched a kever or did not, whether it came in the ol in the airspace of a kever and would become tummy going over the kever or not. That would be a suffix deraisa. And we said all these six cases are midrabbanan, so sveikis on tumas derabbanan. So therefore, Tosfos says that it's speaking about sada shenechresh ba kever. There's a different kind of base of pras. We know that there was a kever here. We also know that the kever was plowed over, and now we are choshesh that maybe there is a bone as big as a barley, which would be metame. If the truma touched that bone, it would become tame. Although midrash, we don't have to worry about it because we don't suspect that the plow went so deep to go over the kever and spread the bones out. But the Chachamim were choshish for it, and they said an area around the kever of 100 amos has to be considered a base hapras. So if truma went in that area, so we have to consider as if it vadai touched the bone, it became tamei, and you would burn the truma based on this. The second suffix is al suffix offer habom eretz amim. We don't know if this earth that the truma touched is earth from the Eretz Amin. Here we see the gzera that we are discussing, the Gemara of land from the Eretz Amin, from outside Eretz Yisrael. Val Sofik, the third Sofik is Big Day Amo Aretz. The Bigotim of Amo Aretz have to be considered Tomei because we're worried that maybe his wife, an unlearned person's wife who was a Nida, sat down and because of Tumas Medrash made the Bigotim Tomei, and even though it's a doubt, we have to consider it as if their Vadai was Tumah there, and if Truma touched it, it becomes Vadai Tomei and has to be burnt. The fourth Suffolk is Val Suffolk Kalim Hanimtsom. If we found Kalim in the street and we have a Suffolk, maybe one of the passersby touched the Kalim, so the Chacham considered it as if it's Vadai Tomei, and if Truma touched those Kalim, it has to be burnt. The fifth Suffolk is Val Suffolk Harroikin. We found spittle, and it could have been spittle from a Zov, and if it's spittle from a Zov, it would be an Avatoma. And even though we don't know, the Chachamim considered all spittles found to be Tomei, Midrabbonim, because maybe it's a spittle of a Zav, and if Truma touched it, it has to be burnt. And the sixth and final Suffolk is, well, Suffolk may ragle Adam. Suffolk, if you have urine, we don't know if it's urine of a person or urine of an animal. Shekeneged may ragle behema. It's next to urine of an animal. This second urine we know for sure is from an animal. And it's telling us a chiddush that even though we know that one is from an animal, but that does not affect the Suffolk of the first one. We don't say that the first one is also from the animal, even though it's right next to it. We have a Suffolk. But we have to consider it. Maybe it's from a person, and and the person was a Zov. And therefore, we consider it Vadai Tomei, and if a Truma touched it, it has to be burnt. So the Gemara says, all of these six cases, Al Vadai Magon, they're speaking about where we know for sure that the Truma touched these items, but it's Shehu Suffolk Tumasan, that it is a Suffolk whether the thing itself is Tomei. We don't know if the Kalim of the Amorites are Tomei, we don't know if the Spittle's Tomei, but we do know for sure that the Truma touched it. In all these cases, Sarfin is a Truma, we burn the Truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and Rabbi Yossi says, Af Al Suffolk Magon, Bershusa Yachut Sarfin, that even if you have a double suffix, A, you don't even know if the item itself is tamei. B, we don't even know if the truma actually touched it. So it's a svek sveka. So in Rishus HaYachid, we have a rule that suffix tuma Rishus HaYachid is tamei, and that applies even to a svek sveka. And therefore, he says, even if you have a suffix maga, and not only the thing itself is a suffix tuma, we say it's tamei. And you have to burn the truma if it touched this thing in Rishus HaYachid. The Chacham disagree, and they say, Rishus HaYachid toilet. that in this case, in Rishus HaYochid, we'll only say it's a Suffolk. You don't eat it, you don't burn it. Rishus HaRabim Tor, Rishus HaRabim, we have the rule of Suffolk Tor, Rishus HaRabim Tor, and therefore, if these fakes happen in Rishus HaRabim, it'll be Tor. Why do the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi is right, that Suffolk Tor, Rishus HaYochid, Tom is even by a Svek Sveka, and the answer is, because here we're talking about a Svek Sveka of a Tumma, which is only made a Rabbanon to begin with. And there, the Chacham hold, we don't say the rule that Svek Sveka, Suffolk Tor, Rishus HaYochid, is Tomei. Now comes the question, which is Negei Ar Sugya. Va'amar Ulan, what did Ula say on that Mishnah Masechta Taharis? That Elu Vav Sveks B'Usha Skinu, that these six Svekas were all made in Usha. And one of the six Svekas was the Eretz Ha'amim, was Safik Ofer Abome Eretz Ha'amim. So what are you telling me that Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan did it? What are you telling me that it was done 80 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash? In fact, it was made in Usha, which is after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara revises its stages and says, in fact, there were three stages to the Gzeira on Eretz Amim. Elo Asa Inu, the two Yosefs came, Gazer Agusha Litlois. So they made a Gzeira on the ground of the Eretz Amim to be Tola. Don't eat it, don't burn it. Va'avir v'lo klum, and on the air space of the Eretz Amim, nothing. Va'asa Rabbanim d'shmoyim shana, then the second stage was the Rabbanim of the 80 years, Gazer Idivili Litlois. So they left intact the Gzeira over the ground, that toilet. What they added was that even the airspace is also toilet. V'asa b'usha, and then the third and final stage came about, Gazer Agusha Lisra, if they were Gazer on the earth to burn it, Vavira Kidikoi Koi, and they left the Gzera over the airspace as it was in the second stage of the Chachamim of 80 years. They left it that it's toilet, but what they added on, and as the Gemara said before, this Gzera of Sreifa for the Eretz Amim, for the Gusha, for the ground, that was in fact in stages. Here is where the Chachamim of Usha were Mesakin, that not just Litlois, but they said that that has to be burnt as well.